This is the time of year where we get excited because we get to say, He is risen. That's like one of the only times in the year I get an answer from the congregation, so that's why I like to push it, you know? Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So our text for this morning is going to be, I think, a pretty familiar part of Scripture. But it really kind of just blows me away when you go through this text. I want to say of the grace that is in it. And that's what we are. We are the children of grace. God has just poured His grace out. It says even in the gospel that He poured it on all flesh. And sometimes we have a hard time with grace because we're workers by nature. You know, we raise our children to say, if you don't work for it, you don't get it. At least if we have some boundaries. But the reality of it is, in Christianity, grace is given so freely. That God so loved us, He gave us His only begotten Son. And so this text really, if we look at it, is going to be full of grace. So we're going to read from today, for today, the Easter Sunday, the Gospel of John. We're going to read from chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18. And I'd ask that you rise for the reading of a gospel text if you're willing and able. Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1, reading in Jesus' name. After this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and He revealed Himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And they said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered Him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. And they were not far from land, but were about 300 yards off. 100 yards off, not 300. Then they got out on land and saw a charcoal fire in place with the fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask Him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had revealed Himself to the disciples when He was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Others will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. And left to our own flesh, we just don't get it. But Father, we ask by the inspiration of your Spirit that we could receive from this word, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because Father, there is no truth outside of this word. We ask it in his name. Amen. I know you're going to listen to this text because you like fishing. You know, I even seen, I think Pastor Jerry had a shirt that said, Jesus said, go fishing. He used to wear it quite often, and he liked to fish too. But this is really kind of a powerful text, because they spent 3 years with Jesus. These disciples spent 3 years with him, and they watched him do such miraculous things. And so, you know, then all of a sudden you think that this has got to go on forever and ever. In other words, we can kind of relate to this when we live our lives and something big is happening, you know. And we basically, like, say your daughter or your son is getting married or some big event, right? And you spend so much time working on this event. You're so fired up about it. But then after it's over, you got nothing but a mess to clean up. They're gone on their honeymoon, and you're wondering what next. It's almost like your life was so busy trying to juggle all of these things. Now all of a sudden it's like, well, now what? And a lot of people have a tendency to be pretty hard on Peter in this text. But I get it. You know, God doesn't want us idle. And he probably didn't really understand yet what to fully do. So, what do we all do? Let's do what we know. Let's do what we know. You know, I mean, Jesse has a baby fit probably at least once a month in his own head and tells my wife, I should just go bang nails again. Like, because that's what I know. But the reality of it is, I kind of have that pie in the sky thing. I remember there was an elder that used to come visit me all the time, and he would sit there and he'd tell me that, you know, I remember when a loaf of bread was a nickel and, you know, gas was 18 cents or this or that. And he was telling me all this stuff. And I asked him finally, well, how much did you make an hour? And it was like 75 cents. It's like, well, it wasn't really that great. My grandfather, Jelmer, used to have a statement quite often. He would say, he says, you know, they say they don't make cars like they used to. And it's a good thing. Some of you older people probably remember your parents changing a tire 3 times to go to the bridge. You know, you probably remember the times where you didn't have heat in your vehicle because it just didn't work that well. And I remember waxing nostalgic a few years ago, and I went and got myself a square body Chevy, and I was all proud of this thing. I built a bed on it. I painted it. I did everything to it. I drove it to town once, and I sold it because I couldn't drink my coffee because it rode so rough. They don't make them like they used to, and it's a good thing. But the fact of the whole reality is Peter was going back to what he knew, because he didn't know at this point what else to do. Yes, they were instructed. But we just picked up from where they came from the tomb, and they were trying to figure out what is going on. It seems John, you know, they had a little race to the tomb just before this, chapter 20. And if you were racing me, you'd win. So I was Peter, right? Slower. But John runs to the tomb, and he actually beats him there. But Peter's the bold one, and he goes right into the tomb. But it seems Peter's a little more confused over, what happened? Where is he? And it says that John saw the linen cloths that he was wrapped with, folded up and put to the side, and he believed. God meets us all in different places. Faith comes in all different stages. And so, really, this is kind of an interesting thing now. What else do we do? So, after Jesus revealed himself in this way again to them, he says, he had already revealed. Now he's going to do it again. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyways, he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, so there's 7 disciples. We don't have to go through them all. 7 disciples were together. And Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. I'm not going to sit here and wonder what to do. I'm going to go fishing. as I said earlier, how many times do we do something like that? If you started a new job, maybe you kind of wonder within yourself, should I be doing this? I knew what I was doing in my old job. Should I be doing this? And it can feel overwhelming. So we kind of naturally go back to what we know. So Simon says that. Peter says, I'm going fishing. And he's kind of a leader. They're all kind of with him. So they're like, we'll go with you. That's something we know. We're going to go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat. So they're in one boat. And that night, they fished all night long, because that's what they did, is they fished at night, and they would actually use torches, and they'd put them on the boat, and the fish were kind of drawn to the light. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. You can even find them online now. They have lighted bulbs and stuff that you can get. But the point is, this was to draw the fish in. That's why fishing at night was so much better. Plus, they had to get the fish to the market early in the morning, so you had to catch it at night to get there right away to make some raha, some money, some dinero. So anyways, he says this, and they go out there all night long, and they don't catch a thing. These aren't rookies. These are guys that made a living doing this. And so they're out there doing their thing, and just as day is starting to break, as the scripture says, who comes there? Jesus. This is so assuring for me. Because sometimes we think that God doesn't see us. Doesn't know us, doesn't know what's going on. I mean, maybe you don't have that problem. Jesse does. But the reality of it is, Jesus is right there on the shore. They can't really see him. How long had he been there? But he's present. And so he's watching them try to figure this out. He's watching Jesse in his office say, oh, bag this, I'm going to go build a house.
You are?
Okay. But the point of it is, and I'm using myself as an example, I'm not ready to quit or anything, don't get nervous. Or maybe you get excited, I don't know. But anyways, I'm just using it as an example. What is your example? As I said, we've all probably traded jobs different times in our life. Have we felt comfortable moving to that next one right away? Did we understand it? And I think this is very hard for pastors, because pastors are not... Well, you may not agree, but we're not in it to get rich. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying building homes and stuff might be a little more profitable. So in other words, you're already uncomfortable in your mind. So anyways, as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. What a comfort that is. He says, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So they probably could see his silhouette over there. They don't really know who it is or nothing, but they can see. We understand that. Hey, someone's up on that shore. But Jesus says to them, children. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of closeness. But I also think it is, Jesse, you're being silly when you say things like that. You're acting like a child. But anyways, children, do you have any fish? Now, these are proud fishermen. They've done it for a living. Can you imagine having to answer this? No. No, we don't. So then he turns and he says to them, he says, well, cast the net on the right side of the boat. Cast your net on the right side. And you'll find some. Can you imagine that? Does this work? If you're sitting there with your, I don't know how you do it, but anyways, fishing on one side, the left side of the boat, and it doesn't work, I'll turn around and go on this side. There, that's going to be a lot better. You could almost understand that they'd be thinking, what is wrong? Who's this guy think he is? But the Spirit must have been present with them, because they did it. They were obedient to someone that they don't really know who it is on the shore. And to me, this is a great understanding of faith. I'm not saying they fully acknowledged what was going on, but in other words, they acted in that word. They were instructed to do something, and they answered to that instruction. Do you know how far apart the left is from the right on these ancient boats? I think they're 20 feet, 3 feet long and 7.5 feet wide. So your net from this way to 7.5 feet is going to make a difference. But they did it. That to me is one of the most amazing things. One of the things that tells me is pride is not an issue in this situation. Because Jesse would be so proud and he'd say, like, I don't know nothing. I've been fishing all my life and 7 feet isn't going to make a difference. But he says, cast it on the right side of the boat. And this really means very strongly to me in the aspect of be on the right side of the Lord. Be on the right side. But anyways, he says, you'll find some. So they did. And can you imagine their surprise? When they started to pull it in, they couldn't even haul it up for the quantity of fish. How does this even make sense? This is God. And this is going to speak to them. God is seen so many times through his divine miracles. Normal for him, but divine miracles for us. And so, really, he comes down to the point of now they can't even haul it in because of the quantity of fish. So then we believe John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I love that statement. People think, well, that's a little weird that he says that. You know, he says very plainly, a disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter. Well, John titles himself that way. But do you? Do you title yourself that way? I am a disciple that Jesus loves. I follow him and he loves me. That to me, we teach it, don't we? Come on, we teach it in Sunday school. Jesus loves me. I'm not going to sing for you because I'm not good at that. But anyone else want to sing for me? But Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. John says, the disciple whom Jesus loved said, therefore, Jesus loved them all. They all could say this. It's the Lord. Through his miracle, he is revealed. He is revealed through what takes place. We can see it all around us. But why would John say something like this? Because it's happened before. The Gospel of Luke chapter 5. Jesus wants to preach to the people. He gets to the lake shore. He sees the fishermen. He says to Peter or one of the guys, he says, let me hop in your boat. Let me get out a little ways. Let's make this an amphitheater. And let me preach. So they're obedient to him. He jumps in the boat. They go out a little ways from the shore and they start preaching. The people have received the word. And I love this because then Jesus says to them, push your boats out a little farther. Let's go to the deep. Well, we've been fishing all night long. We haven't caught anything. What's dropping at? We've been out here all night. It's daytime now. But nevertheless, they say, because you told us to do it, we will do it. You ever have that in your life? Where that still small voice speaks to you and you're like, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it. That's God. I'm not saying it can't, other people can't mimic that, but the reality of it is God works that way. He speaks to us. So they go out a little bit. They go to the deep, they drop their nets, and what does it say? Their boats were so full, they filled two boats that they were almost sinking in the water. And then Jesus turns around, they get back to the shore, and he says, come on, my words, not his. You're done. Now you're going to be fishers of men. This is what God will use you for, to draw them in. You're going to be fishers of men. They seem to have forgot that here. So Jesus is once again giving them another lesson in this. So that's why I think John is like, dude, there's only one other guy that did this before. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And so, anyways, so then when the disciple says that, what's Peter do? And this is beautiful to me. This is not the first time that Jesus met with Peter. It says in a couple places that he had met with him privately. We don't understand the conversation or anything, but it does actually say that in the scripture. But when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, in other words, someone shared it with him, doesn't even say that he fully understood it. He said when he heard that it was the Lord, what's he do? He throws on his outer coat because they work basically in their under things, and he dives into the water. He's so excited to see Jesus. This is exactly where we should be. Even when we fumble the football, even when we err. Deny Jesus three times, Peter did. But he was still excited to go to him. To go to him. And it's an interesting thing because he just hears it and he dives in. And so anyways, the other disciples, they came with the boats and they're dragging their nets full of fish, and they were not far from the land. They were only 100 yards off. But this is the beautiful part. When they come to the shore, here these guys thought they would provide for themselves, take care of business. We got to go fishing. We got to do something. We got to provide. I don't know what their thought process was. But they got to the land. What do they see? The charcoal fire. A charcoal fire. How do you think Peter felt when he saw that? I'm going to stretch your imagination a little bit. But I believe at least the second time when he denied Christ, what was he standing around? A charcoal fire. This speaks. This charcoal fire has a meal prepared for it. And in the scriptures, a meal with an enemy really brings out the understanding of restoration. Of restoration. But they get there, and everything they labored for, which they didn't technically labor for, because Jesus created a great miracle here, they didn't need. They didn't need it. Because when they got to the shore, there was this charcoal fire that I'm sure sprung some sort of memory for Peter, because it says that Jesus looked at him and he wept when he denied. It had fish laid on it. A peace offering, I want to say. I'm making that up. You can do what you want with that. But restoration. He says there's fish laid on it and bread. But Jesus says, and this is what I think is really kind of awesome. I got to stop saying I think. Who cares what I think? What the scripture says is really interesting, because he said, bring some of the fish that you caught, that you have just caught. Well, really, Jesus did everything, but they were obedient to his word. But as I said, the meal was prepared. It wasn't needed, but it was desired. Jesus still wanted them to participate. Jesus still wants us to be involved. Jesus wants us in this ministry to be involved. It is him through us, because remember, he provided it. But he says, bring what you've caught and add it. We all have different gifts, different abilities. And I'm not trying to spiritualize this to death, but God will use all of us. He says, come to me, bring what you have, and he will do the rest. So Simon Peter, which I've never noticed in the scripture, I've read this I don't know how many times, but I never noticed that it was Simon Peter that went back to the boat to go get the fish. I don't know why, it's a small thing, I've never noticed that. I told my wife that last night. I said, I can't believe I've never seen this. But Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore. So he's going to help, which is awesome. He's listening to the word. And then there was 153 fish. And you know what that means? It's a lot of fish. People are like, why'd they count them? I take it more as, they were so excited, like I told you this before, with Halloween candy. You know, you get home from trick-or-treating or something, and you start counting all the pieces of candy and which one got more. But then I've also heard it saying that these guys were fishermen by trade, and every fish meant so much to bring to market, so they would definitely count them every single time. But either way, it is a great amount of fish. And it says the amazing part about it is, though there was so much, the net didn't break. God contained it. When God calls us to do something, he will equip us to do it. But we have to be trusting and obedient to his word. So Jesus said to them, what's wrong with you guys? Why didn't you get this? What are you doing? No, that's our human answer, isn't it? You should actually say, Pastor, you're full of it. And I am. Because what does he do? Jesus turns around and he says, Come on, guys. Let's have breakfast. Let's spend time in fellowship. Let's eat. And it says none of the disciples even dared say, well, who are you? Because they understood very plainly it was the Lord. They understood. This is Jesus. So Jesus came and he took the bread. And what does he do? He gives it to them. He serves them. And also with the fish. This is the third time that Jesus revealed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, there's a little housework that needs to be done. Other issues. You ever have that? You want to talk about something with somebody and you don't know what to do. And I think Jesus is extremely smart here because human beings, when they're hungry, they get pretty crabby and they don't listen real well. So he made sure they were satisfied. At least with me, that's, if you want to talk to me about something serious, make sure I ate something first. He says, when they finished breakfast, Jesus looks at Simon Peter and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And there's a lot of discussion about this, and I don't claim to have any great insight. Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Jesse and his little fits or his little tantrums or whatever it may be. Jesse, do you love me more than building houses? Do you love me more than material gain? This is me. I'm not talking about you. There's a few different ways that you could look at these. He could be saying, Peter, do you love me more than this fishing industry? Because that's what you went back to. Or Peter, do you love me more than just the fish itself? Because it gives you sustenance. Or Peter, do you love me more than these disciples? Is your love for the disciples more than mine, the love for me? Or you could actually take it even, do you love me more than they do? We don't know. I have a tendency to go more from the side of, do you love me more than your old trade? Do you love me more than your own thoughts, your own ways? And so then he turns around and he says to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And I know God knows I love him. I always have a saying, it's a stupid saying, I say it to myself all the time, Lord, I love you, I'm just not good at it. Because I have this human flesh. Often my flesh takes over. But Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. But what does Jesus say to him? You have a position, Peter. This is what I called you for. Back in Luke chapter 5, I told you guys, leave your boats and you become fishers of men. When you put your hand to the plow or the fishing rod, don't look back. Don't look back. So he says, feed my lambs. To me, I take this very personally, those new in faith. This is going to be a new faith that's moving forward. And he's saying, take care of them. This is more important than anything else. The lamb relies on a shepherd. And obviously Jesus is that great shepherd. But we are also as shepherds, as pastors and things, to be able to lead the people, to encourage the people. So he says, feed my lambs. Peter, it's not about fishing. It's not about getting your claim back to who you were. It's a new position. This is your job. Take care of those that are new in faith. They're going to need it. And he says a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, then tend to my sheep. Those that have been walking along for 3 years, take care of them. Help them. Tend to them. Don't tell me, and I'm saying this, Jesse's saying this, but I can picture him like in his mind, don't tell me you don't have anything to do. There's plenty to do. Tend to my sheep. And then he says a third time, and this kind of gets him off guard a little bit. Peter gets a little worked up. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? We talk about this being the restoration. He denied 3 times. He's brought back 3 times. I see this also as great completeness, the number 3. But anyways, and so he says very plainly, Peter was grieved by this. Because it's almost like if we were in a relationship, husband and wife or whatever, do you love me? Well, yeah, hon, I love you. No, do you really love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? I'm here, ain't I? It's not about just being here. It's about willing to serve. It's willing, you know, I used to say it to my wife, what do you mean you don't know if you love me? I'm home every night, ain't I? But am I? Husbands, are we home every night? Even if we're there physically, are we there? Wives, are we? Are we home every night? Physically, sure. Mentally, spiritually, lovingly? It's not enough just to say, Peter. He says, you know that, you know everything. You know all things. But Jesus doesn't change. He says, after tending my sheep, in other words, taking care of them, making sure they have what they need, this is how you do it. Feed them. Give them the word. And Peter will. Peter will preach a message in the book of Acts that is so powerful, anointed by God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people in that one meeting come to faith. 3,000. Seems that he got the message. And so when you come to this, you see that great restoration. But what does this share for each and every one of us? To be attentive. To love one another. To encourage one another. To be grateful one to another. And when you are grateful, don't be like a typical Finlander husband as myself and say, you know I love you. I said it when we got married. No. Share it. I love you, Judith K. Truly, he says, I say to you that when you were young, you did what you wanted. Isn't that what we think? We kind of do what we want. He says, you walked whenever you wanted. He says, but actually, now that you are getting older, now that you are in reality serving me, you're going to stretch out your hands. And another will dress you, another will carry you. Really what this brings out, he says, you'll go to places that you didn't even want to go. And this is true. They are going to go to the Gentiles. At this time, these Israelites would never think of going to the Gentiles to share the message. And Peter will be used explicitly in that. But the point of it is, you no longer serve yourself. You're serving me. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, may we surrender our rights, our pride. And this is just as much for me as anybody else. And serve the Lord. To feed the sheep. To tend to the sheep. And to feed the lambs. That's the purpose of the church. You are loved. I know you are. So enter into a world that needs to hear their love too. Be fishers of men. Happy Easter, because today that tomb is empty. And that tomb is empty for our victory, and it is empty for each and every one that we love that has gone on to glory. May God be glorified, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word today, and we thank you for the love that you have shown us. And that you call each and every one of us in our own capacity with the gifts you give us to serve. Some may be more in the ministry and some may be more just encouragement. But Father, we all serve you. So we ask that you would allow us to feed the lambs, to tend to the sheep, and to feed. But we ask that it all come by your Spirit. Sanctify us in that truth. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Easter, everybody.